Welcome to the Voice of St. Anthony Parish from Allston, Massachusetts, right here on WROL 950 AM, 100.3 FM. And you can also hear us at CatholicAudioMedia.com. That's CatholicAudioMedia.com. And if this is your first time tuning into the podcast, welcome. And we're glad you're here. I just want to say we're glad that you are here. And we hope our words touch your heart today. If, by the way, you're returning to our program, like so many others, thank you very much for coming back. And why don't you all introduce yourself? And, you know, when you listen to the program today, let people know what you listen to. Share the word, share the message, and tell them where to find it, whether it's on the podcast platform you're listening to right now, whether it's over at WROL at 950 a.m. at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, or any other way, including CatholicAudioMedia.com. And remember, we actually come out of Podbean, so look us up on Podbean. In any case, you can find us. And with that being said, let us go on to today's episode. So we're talking over the past 2 days, and we're going to continue in finish the talk today about how do we deal with hurts that come upon us, whether they are minor hurts or whether they are severe, whether they are someone just offended us with a word or whether we've experienced something traumatic, such as in the case of what it spawned this discussion is a friend of person who brought this idea to me being killed by a gang. And how do we respond to that? And ultimately, we need to understand that God is our Father. And if we choose to become Catholics, we always say that God has adopted us at baptism. But when we choose to become Catholics as adult Catholics, whether that's at confirmation or later, then we do the opposite. We choose God as our Father. And in doing so, we choose to be in relationship with God, and we choose to do His will. And that is a key element. Now, one of the things we talked about yesterday is how is it that we forgive when we've been hurt terribly, when we've been hurt either a traumatic experience, whether it's something that's left us with post-traumatic stress disorder, which, by the way, I have, or other forms of hurt. It doesn't matter what the form is, how minor or how serious it is. We literally have to learn to forgive, and we can't do it on our own. As I said yesterday, we have to pray and ask the Lord to help us through this. Remember, this is a relationship. And one of the things I said yesterday is vengeance is God's. We do not enact vengeance, because then that is taking upon the role of being God. We turn everything over to the Lord and let Him act His vengeance. He does, and one of the things I didn't mention yesterday, I was talking about how the fact that He ultimately wants to see all people repent and be saved. Now, by the way, you can turn around and someone may have hurt you. You can take that upon yourself, but as I said, the Lord wants to see all the people repent and be saved. And you can turn around and say, well, they get away easy. No, not necessarily. People who've committed grave offenses, who truly repent, go through a tremendous amount of pain in their repentance because they recognize what evil they have done and they beg forgiveness for that evil. Yes, I've seen, you know, those cases. I know of those cases, better way to put it. I know of those cases. A great example is in the movie The Mission. Very well done in the movie The Mission, and almost exactly the same thing we're talking about here, although gang isn't really an issue, but a killing of a person. The movie The Mission, you can see that right there. It's solid of how this repentance was intense. At the same time, as I said, vengeance is God's, and we leave it up to Him. Those who do not repent, as St. Paul says, well, then the more you give your blessing, the more you seek to do the will of God, the more that if they don't repent, if they are so hard-hearted, then the only thing you're doing is pouring coals on their head. And there is an example of that you can find from the Bible. It's actually several examples. When Jesus rejected someone, because they rejected Him. Well, I could put it that way. He never rejected anybody, but they rejected Him. And so he knew there was nothing he could do. They put the wall up. He couldn't cross the wall because by their decision, it was like, you know, if there was a wall, it would say, Jesus not allowed. And he'd say, fine, you don't want me there. And his response was always never speaking to the person because they were cut off. He didn't cut them off. They cut him off. And therefore, there was no conversation. Two examples very well known that I've mentioned here on the program before are King Herod and the bad thief on the cross. Two people to whom Jesus never spoke, even though they spoke to him. But they spoke to him in ways that indicated that they mocked him or they rejected him or they wanted nothing to do with him. And he just granted their wish. And so he never responded to them. Another example that we can see of this is the reality of the Pharisees and those who put Jesus to death, to whom, after he resurrected from the dead, he never went back to them. Because he knew they had rejected him, they wanted nothing to do with him, and if he went back to them, they would try to execute him all over again. And he basically predicted that earlier in the famous parable of Lazarus. So, yes, his judgment is really there. And at the same time, he calls us to turn all judgment over to him. But at the same time, we're called to do his will, and we cannot do his will if we aren't in prayer with him. There is a great story that really fits all of this from the Old Testament. It's in the book of Kings, I do believe. And it's the story of David and his son Absalom. Absalom was wanted to take over the kingdom, and the only way he could take over the kingdom was to kill his father. So Absalom was literally on his way to kill his father to take over the kingdom. And in the process, he had this long flowing hair, I guess. And in the process, he went under a tree, and this tree branch grabbed his hair, not literally like in a cartoon, but it just the way he went, his hair got stuck on the tree branch. And the horse kept going, and then Absalom was caught in between the tree branch and the ground. So he was literally hanging there by his hair, probably quite painful. And David's men came forward, and they saw that he was completely vulnerable, and they put him to death. Well, they had to send a messenger. Always keep in mind, David loved to kill the messenger, but that's a different story. If you were in David's day and say, can you give a message to the king? Your best bet was to say no. But anyway, so they have to send a messenger. And David, even though he knew his son wanted to kill him, even though he knew that his son wanted to depose him, David waited expectantly for news that his son was okay. That's how the Lord looks upon all of us. And so the Lord never wants us to take our vengeance upon another, because the other side of the fence is God would say to you, but don't you understand that is my son or daughter? Don't you understand that? You don't have the right to take that person's life, even if they took someone else's life who you cared about. You still don't have that right. Only I do. You return with a blessing, and by doing that, you show yourself to be a child of God. And you are connected to God and let God deal with the situation. And that way it protects you as well. Because the minute you take vengeance upon another person, you take that role of God upon yourself, which means you also take the response. You take on evil and you aren't strong enough to win in a fight against evil. Or going back to the example I gave in the first week, where a first day rather of this three-part series, where it's like you want to show your vengeance on a neighboring city, so you drop an atomic bomb on them, realizing, oh shoot, when it's too late, all that stuff comes back to us, so we get hurt just as much. Doesn't work. It's really bad. So what God is saying is, let all vengeance end up with him. Let him do the vengeance. You seek to do his will. That way you will not be destroyed by your own quest for vengeance, entering into that arena of evil, of, you know, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Let God deal with it. He's very, very, very effective at it. Trust me, I know. You know, I've seen it. We used to have an expression, which is absolutely true, by the way. It comes from Graham Greene and the book A Hint of an Explanation, where he talks about how evil has the ability to go so far and then it falls back on itself. So when evil wants to attack, it can go so far and then it falls back on itself. One of the things you may notice, speaking of that, of how Jesus fights battles, and he kind of fights battles if you look very carefully, is he lets the enemy win. He did that on the cross, lets the enemy win. And ultimately, and you say, well, that's a stupid move. No, because then the enemy wins and discovers that what they won is not what they expected. Meanwhile, the enemy, by winning, loses, and you win. And if you look very carefully, that's how Jesus works. That's what he did on the cross. And he's kind of encouraging to do that. The person who repents of their evil, which is what he wants, even if they have done evil to you, you will be rewarded and they will repent, be deeply sorry for what they have done, seek to repent, and there will come a time where you will all rejoice in the kingdom of God. Those who do repent, who do not repent and refuse to repent and become hardened of heart, will become victims of their own evil. And there is nothing you can do to prevent it. It's really the way God set it up. They will become victims of their own evil, and their own evil will entrap them. And I hate to put it that way, but that's the truth. So if you enter that system, your evil will entrap you. So don't. And that's how we represent God, by being his children and seeking to do his will, which requires us to be daily in prayer with him, help, asking him, begging him to help us to forgive. If what you heard today touched your heart, we encourage you to share today's podcast with friends and family so that they can be enlightened as well. We want to reach new listeners daily, and together we can make that happen. Thank you again for tuning us in, and we look forward to you tuning us in again tomorrow. And do keep in mind that you have a standing invitation to our 10 o'clock a.m. Mass on Sundays. Please consider coming by if you'd like. If you live in the Boston area and you are a Catholic and you want to worship with us, please consider doing so and help us to rebuild the parish. In the meantime, you'll hear Father Adriano tomorrow, and you can have a blessed day. God bless. In Cristo vivimos.